that we understand the options that are out there, and that these young people here will be thinking about that. And if you young men don't mind visiting with anyone that would like to visit, I would encourage Brian, who's just been saved a little while, and anyone, any of our young people, to visit with these guys and this youth pastor here and talk about what they do and just get some ideas there. And I appreciate them stopping in today. And appreciate our visitors from Burlington, Iowa as well. And Joe and Sandy coming back to church. Glad you finally decided to come back to church. Glad that they're back in town. And glad to have many of you. And Ed, good to see you again. Missed you for a little while, but glad you're back. So Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray, and we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Bible, for the opportunity to open it. In eternity, we'll always look back and realize you allowed us to open your word and read it. And I pray that every one of us in here will spend that eternity in heaven, and that we will also be able to say that we did what you told us to do besides get it saved. And we obeyed your word. And so help us, Lord, to be taught, and that you would continue to teach us as only your grace can do. And I pray that you'd work through us today and just speak to us now in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says God's grace, the grace of God, verse 11, the amazing grace that we sing about, God's grace brings salvation. And, of course, the grace of God bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Some teach that not all men can be saved, and there's a predestination, which I don't believe in, and a Calvinism, as they call it. But the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not that all men have received it, not that all men have believed it, but it hath appeared to all men. The grace of God brings salvation. God's salvation is only by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What hinders grace? I mentioned that last week. James chapter 4 and verse 6 and 1 Peter chapter 5. James 4 and verse 6, along with 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says in James 4, 6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Pride is what hinders grace. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God resisteth the proud, and give grace to the humble, subject one to another. You know, proud people can't be subject one to another. The Bible tells us, teaches us that there is something called authority. The authority is Jesus Christ. He's the author, and the word author is in the word authority. He's the author of our authority, the Bible. He is our authority, and we just don't necessarily like that. We don't like authority. We think we're better at taking care of ourselves than anyone else, and yet we are not. And it says, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, it's interesting, it says clothe. I'm just going to stop here for a minute and talk about that. I do believe that God has a standard of how we should dress. And I do believe the world has an unstandard of how we should dress. And so they undress. And they reveal, and they wear it tight on purpose. And they call it, a lot of times they call it women's liberation, but it's really women's slavery. And we wonder why we have such an abuse problem in our world today. We wonder why we have men thinking like pigs today and are so selfish, clothed with humility. I want to just say that, and it's not perfect and it's a constant concern and we're always working on it, but our teenage daughter has submitted to authority. I remember several times that in our dogs that we've had a couple dogs in our family lifetime, and they get into our chickens. And when our dog will get into our chickens, there's something we've decided that we do. And we take our chicken, our dead chicken that the dog decided to kill, and maybe he didn't, he just played with it, but he killed it. And we take that dead chicken and we tie that dead chicken to that dog's neck. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing works like that. That dog walks around clothed with humility. He walks around with eyes that say, I am humiliated. We've beaten that dog. He'll still chase the chickens. We have done all kinds of things to that dog. But you know what? When we clothed that dog with humility, it fixed it. I'm going to tell you right now, there's something in you that does not want to be clothed with humility. You don't want to be humbled that way. You don't want that. And we wonder why God would have us to be different than the world. I'm going to tell you right now, it's because we need to be humble. Because the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We must have God's grace. I don't like humility, but I got to have his grace. You understand? I don't like being humbled. But I need his grace. And today's Christianity says, well, let's just do it without humbling ourselves. Today's Christianity has no grace. They got a lot of stuff, but they don't have the real grace of God. They got grace from each other, but they don't got the grace of God. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. It takes humility to admit you're a sinner. It takes humility to admit you're on your way to hell and you need to be saved. It takes humility to admit that after you're saved, you don't know everything. It takes humility to admit that you need to follow the authority in your life. You know, the Bible says, whose faith follow concerning who? I mentioned it last week. Who does the Bible say when it says you need to follow their faith? Who is it talking about? You may remember? If you have a church, a local church, there's someone in the church that is the leader, and the Bible says you're supposed to follow their faith. Who is it? It's a pastor. Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that have rule over you who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith, what? That doesn't mean you got to buy a Toyota pickup because the pastor bought a Toyota pickup. That doesn't mean you got to go bald like he is going bald. But it does mean this, if that's what he's telling you the Bible says is convicting him to do, you better think twice about it before you say, I got a better way. Unless, of course, his kids aren't living according to what you want. Unless his kids are lousy examples of what they ought to be and your kids are better. Hey, listen, we got a bunch of people running around saying, I want a preacher who preaches to me on Sunday, but I don't want a pastor who gives me what I don't want to hear. Listen, stop being a hypocrite and stop coming here. It's getting kind of crowded anyway. I'm serious. There's no sense being a hypocrite. If you don't submit to an authority in your life, then stop playing the game. If you've got a parent in this room that wants their child to do something, you got no business interfering with that parent right there and telling that kid that they can do something that parent doesn't want them to do. You are unsubmitting to authority. You are wrong. It doesn't matter if you're grandma, you're wrong. And if you're a child who's listened to any other adult besides your dad or your mom, you're a wicked sinner. It's wrong. God's given us submission to authority for a reason. And sometimes that authority is going to cause us to be humbled. And we don't like humbleness. We don't like submission. But you know what? My dog is the best dog in the world when it comes to chickens now. You know that? My dog doesn't get in the chickens anymore. My dog has learned his lesson. The Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And it says in verse 12, it teaches us some things. The grace of God teaches us some things. But if you're not going to be gracious and allow God's grace to teach you, you're not going to learn anything. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The Bible tells us that the grace of God teaches us things. Now, eventually, you don't even have to have someone telling you what to do because you do it on your own. The Holy Spirit. You do it on your own through God's Holy Spirit teaching and training you. That's what teaches you. You don't need some man to guide you because the Holy Spirit is guiding. Now, you still have a pastor. You still have people in the church, and they're preaching, and they're getting on your case about some things, maybe not because they want to or because they even know, but they know that they're supposed to preach the Word of God, and they're supposed to preach it true. And the Bible says the grace of God teaches us some things, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Today's Christian grace goes like this. You don't need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You're saved. You can just be as worldly as you want to be. That's not the grace of God. That's somebody else's grace. That's not God's grace. God's grace says we deny ungodliness and we deny worldly lust. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof. Hello. The world's going to stink and rot and burn. Hello. The world passes away. It's like saying, come on, the world's not permanent, it's temporary. But we love the world instead. You know what else we love when we're not right with God? We love the worldly Christians. The worldly Christians are our heroes. I don't know about you, but I'm not super excited about the Tim Tebows of the world. You know why? The Tim Tebows of the world are, you can live kind of halfway and not really be sold out for God. In other words, you're so important, you don't need to go to church. I'm trying to find that one in the Bible. I haven't found it yet. The grace of God teaches us some things. You know what that word teaching means? It means chastening. It means training. It means discipline. It means instruction. It means education. The grace of God teaches me something. I want to tell you something about this guy right here. I need lots of spankings. And there's only one really that can do it. My wife can't do it. But there's one that can do it, and he does it, and he has done it, and he's done it over and over again. Let me tell you, if you don't have God spanking you, You got that's a real bad sign. Look with me over in Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 6. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you're a child of God, you know what you're going to get? Spanked. You're going to get spanked. You say, not me. I don't. Well, maybe besides you. But the rest of us who weren't perfect when we got saved, we still need to get spanked. How do kids change? They get chastened, they get trained, they get disciplined. I'm not talking about punishment and beating. I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about spanking. Listen, as a father, I've had to spank my children many times. Not as much as they've gotten older, but I had to. And the Bible says that we do it to train them and to raise them. It says here in verse number 8, I'm going to just start in verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's why it's a swear word. That's why it's a word we don't normally use. Because it means you're fatherless. You have no one to guide you. You're not listening, and you don't have anyone to cares. We have some of those in our town. Young man a week ago was sleeping in a bank lobby because he's fatherless. There's no one to spank him. And thanks to our wonderful government, there's no one that's allowed to. He'll grow up to be another burden to society because he's fatherless. He is, yeah, that word, he's a bastard. Sorry. I'm not saying that to be, I wouldn't say it if he was here. But if you call yourself a Christian and you can just live like you want and you never get spanked for it, guess what you are? You're an unspanked kid, and you know what you really are. You can call yourself Christian if you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, Christians get spanked. Some in here know what I'm talking about. You've gotten it. And I'll tell you right now, I don't like spankings. It says here in verse 9, furthermore, we have had father of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the subjection of the father of spirits and live? For they, verily, the fathers of our flesh, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And let's be honest, sometimes we spank our kids because we just want some peace. We don't always think about their future, but it's spanking is right, not beating, spanking. But he, God, spanks us for our profit. He never does it out of selfish reasons or whatnot. He does it because it's for our good. And a godly father follows God's example and spanks for the right reason, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Isn't that an understatement? I have never, ever jumped up and down after my spanking and said, Dad, that was the best. Man, that was the best one yet. I have never enjoyed one like that one, Dad. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Humbling, isn't it? I got spanked in front of my friends one time on the highway north of Casper, Wyoming, arguing with my mom about the stupidest thing. And my mom pulled over to the side of the road and whipped me right there on the side of the road. My friends laughing at me. Can I tell you something? That's one of the best memories of my life. I'm not saying I'm proud of it, but I am thankful I had a parent like that. I'm thankful that I've got a God like that. I'm thankful that I've got a God that doesn't care how much I'm going to get embarrassed. If I need a spanking, he's going to do it. I've got a God that he knows how to put me and cut me down to size and put me in my place, and I need it. And he knows it. So you can defy and you can rebel and you can be prodigal, but I'm going to tell you right now, if he is your father, you will not get away with it. Revelation chapter 13, verse 19, you don't need to turn there, but it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, he says. I'm going to tell you right now, there is one worse thing than not getting a spanking from your heavenly father. You know what that is? Excuse me, I said that wrong. The drugs are working. There is one worse thing than getting a spanking from your heavenly father. It's not getting a spanking from your heavenly father. That's what I meant to say. I want to tell you right now, when I'm not right with God, I want him to fix it. I want him to wake me up and spank me and straighten me out. And I'll just be honest with you, and you can call me stupid if you want to, but there were times when my dad said, son, when you get home, you're getting a spanking. And when we got home, he forgot. And I went to him and I said, Dad, am I getting my spanking? Oh yeah. You say, Jacob, you say, that's stupid. No. You know why I did that, Dawson? I didn't want him to forget me. I need him to remember me. I need him to pay attention to me. I'm going to tell you right now, the grace of God is what teaches us. You think it's lousy that you get spanked by God? You think it's lousy you get spanked by your parents? I tell you what's worse than that, sleeping in a bank. Sleeping in a bank because you ain't got a dad that'll spank you. How about that? Sleeping in a bank and running around doing your own thing and being a nothing and a bastard because nobody cares. That's worse than a spanking. Whew. Listen to me. By the grace of God, I am not as disciplined as I need to be, but I'm a disciplined child of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's a good thing.
That Mountain View Baptist Church, those people are so strict, and those people,
listen, it's the grace of God. Those people that don't know better, those people that don't Their pastor don't care. Their pastor don't even care if they have a Sunday night service, man. Their pastor don't care about nothing. Their Super Bowl on, they cancel church. They have 45 minutes of rock show and a 10-minute little sermonette. Man, why can't we have that? That's what I want. That would sound like fun. That isn't what the truth is all about. That isn't going to spank anybody. I just want to come and get fed nice food, sugary, sweet stuff. The grace of God teaches me, chastens me, disciplines me, instructs me, and educates me. Chastens me. And it should scare me half to death when the Bible says he chastens those he loves and I never get spanked. Unfortunately, we have some young people that have gone on their way from graduation and done whatever. And it's sad because there doesn't seem to be any spanking. And I'm not God. And so I don't know if he's just waiting a little while longer, but I can't help but wonder if the reason why there's no spanking is because there was never a relationship. When I was a kid, me and my buddies decided to have a yard sale when I was in second grade. We had a yard sale. We sold all my dad's tools. My dad came home. The ice cream truck had just come by. My mom didn't know what we were doing, and I bought a push-up. My dad came home a few minutes later. What are all my tools doing out in the yard? With a push-up in one hand, I got whipped, man. Push-up running down my arm. I mean, he didn't even stop to let go of the push-up. He just drug me upstairs. My dad never spanked one of my friends. He whipped me good, but he never spanked one of my friends in the neighborhood. You know why? Because they weren't his, and I was. Young people look around and they go, I don't understand why so-and-so's getting away with it. I'm going to tell you why. Because they're not his, that's why. Don't you get it? Does that make sense? There's no reason why God's spanking you and not them. Because he loved you. He died for you and he adopted you. You're his. And the grace of God teaches me that. The grace of God teaches me that in spite of spankings, I'm loved. Grandparents don't like spanking talk. Somebody said the reason why grandkids and grandparents get along so well is because they have the common enemy. Listen to me. God didn't give kids to grandparents. I realize sometimes grandparents have to raise kids, and that's sad. But God gave kids the parents to raise and to discipline and to train. And God is nobody's grandfather. He's just your father. And the grace of God teaches us. And it trains us and it disciplines us. The worst thing than getting a spanking is not getting one. Thirdly, the results of his teaching, training, and discipline. It teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. I said that already. To deny this world. As I go through this world and I see stuff, and of course, you know, it really helps, and I'll talk about this tonight, but it really helps to just not allow your children to become super familiar with the world and to be mesmerized by it. If Fox News is the indicator of what's right and wrong, you're in trouble. I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't need my news in a scantily clad, dressed woman's coming out of her mouth. I don't need it. Sorry. Dressing like what we used to call whores. Trying to give me the news. Oh, but it's conservative. Yeah. It's eye candy. They know what they're doing. I don't need TV in my home. I just don't need it. I don't need any of it. Oh, sure, I can use the internet to see something once in a while, but I also don't need to pay them for it. I'm paying them for trash. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. You know, Andy Griffith, I mean, compared to today, that's clean, right? There's some episodes we won't watch. I mentioned it last week. And I just tell my kid, look, that's wrong. That's insinuating. There's innuendos there. We don't need to go there. And I always remind them, look, even though these guys are funny, in real life, they were kind of sad, man. Their lives were sad. You say, why do you do that? Why do you always bring in the negative? Because I want them to understand that that world's not the real life. And that's a plastic world. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. I'm glad these young men are visiting with us today. I don't know their names and probably never will. But God knows who they are. They might never be famous and celebrities, but if they serve God, they will have lived a fulfilled life. And there are many their age right now that are going in the opposite direction. Learn to live soberly. It says here that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's the negative. And to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why soberly? Can't we just be frivolous? Can't we just be goofy all the time? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is never a time we shouldn't be sober. And the grace of God is teaching us that. If he's teaching that to you, if you're saved, he's teaching you. You've got to deny that stuff, but you also got to be sober. Why? Because the devil doesn't play fair. The devil wears camouflage, man. The devil wears Christian bumper stickers. The devil looks Christian, man. The devil sounds Christian if he can. He transforms himself as a minister of righteousness if he can. He'll fool you if he can. You got to be sober, man. You got to be sound of mind. You got to recognize what's going on, and the grace of God teaches you that. To live soberly, to live righteously. Now, when you compare righteousness to each other, if it was just Matt Bruner right here that I have to be righteous, as long as I'm as righteous as Matt, I got a pretty good chance. But you know who I'm comparing myself to all the time? It's Jesus Christ. And he says, my righteousness is as filthy rags. And just about the time I start thinking I'm really something and I've arrived, he shows me the dirty, sick pride in my own heart. Righteously. The grace of God teaches us to live soberly, to live righteously, and godly. There's a big lie that we're teaching our kids, and it goes like this. The reason why you need to practice safe sin, the reason why you need to practice safe sin is so you'll be safe. No, the reason why we don't do certain things is because God said it's wrong. And we're honoring God. It has nothing to do with our own health. That's a byproduct of honoring God. The reason why we don't go there is not because we might end up a drunkard or have a car wreck. No. The world's got it wrong. It's because God won't be honored. It's not godly, that's why. When Joseph was a teenager, he was sold as a slave in Egypt. And when he was a young man, he was propositioned by Potiphar's wife. And there was no one in the house, and he could have got away with it. And he said, how could I possibly do this and sin and get caught by your husband or get caught by my dad who'll find out? Nobody would find out. Joseph had no family that even knew he was alive. You know what Joseph said in Genesis 38? He said, how can I sin against God? That's why it's wrong. Not because it might cause harm to you. No. It's wrong because it's against God. That's why it's wrong. It dishonors God. And we need to get back to teaching our kids that and reminding ourselves. We don't do it because it dishonors God. Are there such a thing as adult movies? No, there isn't. There isn't. No, there isn't. But they rated it. Who's they? It's either godly or it's not godly. The grace of God teaches us. The grace of God disciplines us. The grace of God chastens us. And by the way, there's a huge difference between being chastened and being punished. Chastened is discipline for better future, punished is, boom, wrath. Hell is a punishment. But chastening is a discipline from a loving Father who wants us to do better. Bible says the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I got to stop and say this. I just love the fact that it says in this present world. I love that. You know why I love that, Alex? Because it tells me this isn't the only world. My son is out of town right now, and he was in a house. He was in a house this week that's worth $8 million. That's stupid. No human being should be in a house worth $8 million. That's dumb. If you're a Christian, you can think of at least a $7.5 million. You could do something better with it than just waste it on yourself. But this present world is what most people think of. So if you got it, live it up. Why not give it back to God? Why not do something with it, man? Why not allow God? The reason why this world doesn't think like we do is because they only think of this present world. It's the only world they got. This is the closest thing to heaven they're ever going to see. And I love the fact that it reminds us it's just a temporary thing right now. It's just the current world, that's all. And so it says in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself. The grace of God teaches me and helps me to become pure, a pure people and a peculiar people. To purify in himself a peculiar people. Whether you're old or young, but especially it seems like when you're young, the last thing you want to be is peculiar. You want to be cool. And it's really odd because the people that are trying to be cool want to stick out, so they wear their pants halfway to their knees, you know, and they wear their hat on sideways. And they got earrings in every place but their ears, and you know, because they want to stick out. You want to stick out, live for Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be weird. You don't have to do all this other weird stuff. You can just stick out because the world will say, well, that's different. That's peculiar. My daughter was playing volleyball when she was in high school, but we're not going to let her dress like the public school volleyball players. And there's no logic for why they dress the way they dress. I mean, honestly, is it logical to wear underwear and play volleyball in front of a bunch of people? No, it's not. So my daughter just maintained a standard that we have. Well, that's peculiar. Yeah, peculiar. It's all right. It's all right. Bible says that God wants us to be peculiar. Now, it doesn't mean we're going around trying to be as weird as we can be. It doesn't mean we're trying to be Amish or something like that. But God wants us to be peculiar. You know why? Because if you're average, you ain't worth nothing. You know what makes valuable jewels valuable? Their rarity. They're peculiar. They're special. Been trying to teach the teenagers on Sunday nights about relationships. We talk about three things on the board. We talk about thinking, all T's, thinking, talking, touching. Thinking, talking, touching. Which one involves sin, I ask? Touching. Is that the only one? Can you talk wrong? Can you think wrong? Where does it start? Does it start with touching? Where does the sin start? Thinking. If you learn to think godly, because the grace of God is teaching you what godly is versus ungodly, you'll think different. If you think different, you think godly, you'll never get to the talking part. You'll never get to the touching part. Oh, by the way, when you get married, thinking, talking, touching is supposed to happen. But not until. The world's got a different standard. The Bible says we're peculiar people. Becoming pure. Becoming a peculiar people. Special. It also says, zealous, verse 14, zealous of good works. We're not saved by works, and our works can't save us. But when we get saved, there's a desire and a zeal to serve God. I'm pleased. When I hear my children call and say, Dad, we got the opportunity to witness to someone. Dad, we got to meet this person. Dad, look at the picture of this person and who we met here. Dad, let me tell you about so-and-so we met at this church. I'm excited when I hear people. And here's our son. He was telling us about the $8 million home, but then he was saying, now, Friday night, I have a decision to make. I got to decide. He said, I've been helping with the addictions ministry, but there's something else that my Sunday school class is doing, our young couple, or young college career age Sunday school class, and they're putting together bags to give to homeless, and then they're witnessing to them. I just have to decide if I should go help in the addictions program or do that homeless ministry this weekend. Why isn't it bad when you got kids with those kind of decisions? I mean, how rough is that, you know? Zealous of good works. If the only reason why you do good works is because someone's making you do good works, you ain't got the grace of God. Whatever you got, it's just manipulation. And as soon as you're away from the manipulation, you'll stop it. And if that's what you got, you didn't get salvation. Because the grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly and righteously and godly and to be pure and to be peculiar and zealous of good works. That's what the grace of God teaches me. Not because somebody's making me do it. And then lastly, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, getting tired of this world yet? Got a little extra time this week because I'm kind of laid up a little bit, so I'm going over things on the internet, and there's a police department in Nashville, Tennessee that has a police car colored in a rainbow colors to show their political correctness. June used to be wedding month. And we used to think of other things about June. Now they want us to think about homosexuality as being normal. It's filthy. I'm looking forward to his appearing. How about you? I want him to come back. I'm looking forward to him returning. And I don't know when it's going to be. It seems like it's going to be soon, but I'm looking forward to that. But until then, in this world of tribulation, the grace of God is what we need. And without it, you're in trouble. Sunday school hour is teaching about salvation, but also how we build upon that foundation. And the grace of God teaches you what you need and guides you and directs your path. And if you're rebelling against the grace of God, you're rebelling against his goodness, and you're proud, you're in trouble. Because as that song said that we sang a little bit ago, there'll come a day if your heart is hard that you'll become blind to your own sin. Why do people become homosexual? They become blind to their own sin. And now they want you to play along with it too. Why do people do what they do and think there's nothing wrong with it? They just become blind to the rebellion, blind to the foolishness. We need a wake-up call. We need God to give us that heavenly spanking. I don't want anyone to get a hard spanking from God, but it's better than the alternative. So let me ask you, you have the grace of God in your life. Is it teaching you anything? Is it disciplining you? Is it changing you? Is it changing who you are? Or are you just resisting? and there's no grace. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.